it's shaken it to the very core. And people have become anxious and people start to worry. And I want you to do, the first thing I want you to do this morning is I want you to, oh, you can't read that, can you? To start listing your concerns. What are the things that you now think to yourself, well, I'm not sure about this. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if I'm going to be well enough to do that. I don't know if financially I am going to survive this situation. Maybe it's concerns about your parents. Maybe it's concerns about your children, your future, your health. Just start to write things down that concern you. So what are your concerns today? Well, I want to say two things to you right at the very beginning. Firstly, those concerns are genuine because it's about your life. It's about your future. And today we need to realize that people around us who perhaps are frightened and scared, they have genuine concerns because they've never been here before. The second thing is today you'll be disappointed with this, but I've got no answers. I don't know what the next 6 weeks, next 9 months holds, next year will look like. And there is real fear around us. But what I want to say to you this morning is we want to share hope together this morning. That's the important thing, that we don't focus on the negatives, but we focus on the hope we have as the people of God. I've been listening to a new album. I have Spotify, so I like to listen to all the stuff that's coming out. And one of my favorite albums that comes out every year is the Passion Conference album. You might have heard of Louis Giglio. He's a great speaker, but he runs a thing called Passion. And every year they have a conference which is aimed at young people. That's why I kind of like music. One of the tracks on the album, because the album is called Raw, one of the tracks I really love is a song called All Praise. And it talks about how we walk with God and how we have to give God the glory. And the bridge says this: why should my heart grow weary? Don't be so downcast, O my soul. You are in every moment. You are my greatest miracle. And the words that really spoke to me were this: why should my heart grow weary? Don't be so downcast, O my soul. Because there's two things, isn't there? Firstly, that's exactly where people are. I think it's a lovely expression that probably describes many people's feelings. They're downcast. Rather than looking up, they're looking down. And the second thing, I thought to myself, you know, those words are in the Bible, aren't they? About being downcast. And that's why I found myself looking at Psalm 42. Because that's what the psalmist says. He says, my soul is downcast. The Hebrew word literally means to sink or to depress. He's saying life is rubbish. I'm down because I don't know what's going to come next. So as you look at Psalm 42, I just want to tell you that the psalmist never kind of sugarcoated life. He never glossed over what was happening. If you look at Psalm 42, it was written by a guy called Korah, who was related to a guy called Kohath, who was actually killed for rebelling against God, number 16. But Kohath's sons escaped, and basically became worship leaders in the sanctuary. And so Korah writes this psalm, and 10 times in this psalm and in Psalm 43, which are actually linked, he says, why God? Why have you done this? Why have you done that? It's interesting that actually this psalm was a song. I'm not sure it would kind of fit with where we are today in today's worship, but it was a song that people used to sing as they went to the temple. You see, he was downcast because actually, as a Levite, he was actually away from his people. He was living in a Gentile land. We don't know whether it was Aram, Assyria, or Babylon. But he was someone who was longing for God. We see he talks about as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you. He talks about being hungry. He talks about being thirsty for God. He says, I remember what we used to do. We used to go to church to worship God. Does that sound familiar to you? We used to go to church. I used to gather with other people. And we would go in a procession, and as we did, we would sing, we would worship, we would glorify God, and that has gone. wow, how relevant is that for us today? Because exactly perhaps how we feel that we are disconnected, we've lost that ability to come together, to gather, to worship together. We're all stuck in our houses, needing connection. And maybe for some of us, we've lost connection with God. And so the psalm is so relevant for us today, and that we need to take these words and we need to listen to what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, why are you so downcast? Well, isn't it obvious to him? He's downcast because he's lost connection. And then he says this, for I will yet praise him. So he starts talking to himself and he answers his question, what is he going to do? It's interesting, isn't it, how thinking then affects our feelings. What we think about will affect how we feel. And he is down and he says, you know, I need to change my thinking. What am I going to think about? Here is his response. He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I just want to pick up those things, that what he's saying. He says, I will praise him. I will put my hope in God. So we haven't got 3 points today. We've only got two, okay? Because I'm not allowed to preach for that long. Firstly, he says, I will put my hope in him. Who are we going to trust in these times? Are we going to trust just yourself? Are you looking to family for help? Are you looking to the boss at work? Maybe you're looking to Boris and the state. Where will we put our trust? You see, the problem with that, trusting any of those, and it's good to try, but the truth is the resources are very limited, aren't they? You see, we need to realize that actually the greatest resources can be found in God, and we need to put our hope and our trust in him. As you look at your concerns, those things concern you, what are you going to do with them? And I would say you need to give them to God. You see, the truth is we can either choose fear or we can choose faith. I read this this week. It says, if you feed your fear, your faith loses. If you feed your faith, your fear loses. And for many people, they are gripped with fear. And the answer to fear is to have faith, to choose faith, to trust God. This is my 30th anniversary, not being married, but having a surgical operation. And 30 years ago, I was very poorly, and I went to see a surgeon who said, I can sort you out, but it will take a year of your life. And for me, that was hugely challenging. I was very young at the time, yes. I didn't have any grey hair. His name was Mr. Tolbert, and he offered me an operation that would literally change my life. And I had to sit there at the other side of his desk, and he said, it's going to take a year, but I can do this for you. And I had to think, do I trust this man to change my life? And I made the decision. It was a good idea. And I then had two lots of surgery. And it did transform my life. But I had to put my life in this man's hands. I had to trust him for, in a sense, my future. And I think to myself, do you know, actually, this is where we are today, isn't it? We have to trust God with our future. It says in Proverbs 3, and we maybe have stickers in our house. We maybe have bookmarks or fridge magnets. We always know these words, don't we? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. They're brilliant words, but it's not just for a fridge magnet. It's words to be experienced. But we say to God, I trust you. I trust you with my list. Because actually, for some of us, we can't do anything about it. You see, when we trust God, I think there are two things that happen. Firstly, something happens internally. We get the peace of God. We get the peace of God. A deep peace that dispels worry. And the second thing we get when we trust God is we start to see him do amazing things. We start to see things changed around. This week, I was asked to fix something. Now, I know for many of you, you will be very surprised at that. I was quite surprised. I haven't fixed it yet. My neighbor managed to, I think most of us do this some point in our life, when you're cutting your hedge with your hedge trimmer, the wire seems to get sliced. And the next door neighbor said to me, please, would you fix my hedge trimmer? And so it's on my list. But I was quite surprised she put her trust in me. You see, when we think about the God we have someone who was able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Jesus, the words of Jesus, he said this, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom and the king, and all these things will be added to you. So the psalmist says, I will praise him. Sorry, firstly, he says, I will trust him. Then he goes on to say, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I think it's really interesting that actually of that poll that people are turning to worship music. And I just think there's such power in worshiping God, in praising God. See, we have a God who is able to work. And we need to praise him for who he is and what he can do and what he is going to do. This week, I don't know if you've been looking on Facebook and on the emails, but Emma's done a brilliant job looking at Psalm 27. She sent stuff out every day, and it's been great to be able to pray it through. And on Thursday, that really did strike me. It says from Thursday, then my head will be exalted above the enemies that surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And she wrote this, at Buckskin, we've been singing the song called Raise a Hallelujah. Sorry, my iPad's just turned something silly. Here we go. And one of the lines says, my weapon is a melody. It is a strange line, but when we choose worship over worry, praise over panic, something amazing happens. We fight worry by remembering who is on our side. God is here and he is with us. See, the psalmist states two things. Firstly, he's going to acknowledge God's greatness. He's going to say, actually, God is greater than the problems I face. I love what Stuart said. If you tuned in last week, we were live streaming from the church. Stuart quoted Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. And he said this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And what he brought out with it was this. In two verses, we have four statements about who God is. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. He is the Lord. He is God. And when we come to praise him, we need to focus on how great our God is. You need to read passages like Isaiah 40, where it talks about how God kind of brings out the heavens and brings out the stars and puts everything in its place. You see, praise needs to be the thing we go to praise God, because praise gives us perspective. I'm going to have to show you this. Have you ever seen these kind of photos? They're great, aren't they? And maybe the challenge for this week is to go and make some and send them into the church office. Because what we're seeing is the perspective, aren't we? Because what's happening is the things that seem so big, so large, suddenly become so much smaller. And that's the thing we need to have. We need to have perspective. That what we're going through, God knows and God understands. What we're going through, we have a God who can bring us through. A God who is greater and stronger and more powerful than any virus, than any economic situation, than any health issue. We have a God who is greater. We need to get perspective. The other thing I want to say is actually the psalmist did this. He remembered the goodness of God. It says, put your hope in God, for I yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He's going to remember what God has done. And we see that pattern in the Bible time and time again. The people celebrated the Passover year after year because they remembered God took them out of Israel. In the Old Testament, people erected stones to remember what God had done. When we think about communion, we remember what Jesus did for us. And it's important that we remember what God has done for us. So, number two list would be, what am I thankful for? What are the things that God has already done? What, as we look back on our life, can we say thank you? Thank you, God. So I can look back and say, through God calling me to go to Bible college and how God provided for myself and for Tracy over 3 years where we never had a steady income. And yet I paid thousands of pounds of college fees somehow. How God has brought healing into our life. How God has blessed us with two children. God has given us strength time and time again. We can look back and we can say, this is what God has done. Thank you, God, for all your goodness. Let's remember how he has led us, how he's provided, how he's protected, how he has healed. Because what God has done in the past, he can do now and in the future. Let's not forget what God has done. He says, Psalm 103 says this. Oh, my soul, bless God from my head to toe. I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. That's Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, taken from the message. Let's not forget the blessing of God in our lives. I talked about a song at the beginning, and I talked about the lines, and it talked about how God is in every moment. It says, you are my greatest miracle. The chorus says, so I'll fix my eyes upon you. And that's the challenge, isn't it? I listened to someone speak this week, and they said they only listen to the news twice a day because they found it too depressing. And it's so easy to focus on the issues and the problems. It's so easy to worry about our future. But what we need to do is we need today and tomorrow and the days to come to fix our eyes on God, the Creator, the Maker, our Savior, and our God. We need to trust him. There was a poem that was read on New Year's Eve. I think it was by George the Fifth. And it said I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than a light and safer than a known way. Let's put our hands in the hand of God. I've got one more list for you. It's my God please list. I want you today to write down that prayer, the things that you want God to do for you. What are the things that you really need God to step in for? Maybe your finances, it may be health. It may be for your family, it may be for your fears. And what I want you to do is I want you to use those three things, those three lists, as your prayer list for the next coming week. You could stick it on the fridge maybe and say, God, here's the things that concern me. Here are the things I'm so grateful for. Here are the things I give you today. And each day, just pray through it. Acknowledge your need. Believe God can do something and daily commit your way to him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we come to you in these uncertain days. We ask that you would help us all to trust you, to take your hand and to walk with you. Father, this morning we acknowledge our need. Father, this morning we say that we believe in you, our Saviour and our God. And Father, we commit our ways to you. We place these things into your hands and ask for your blessing and your provision. Father, we pray that you would fill us with your peace. Give me courage and strength. Fill me with love and compassion. Father, let me know and experience your joy. Father, take my life. Make me a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.